Welcome to Inspiring on BBS Radio. I am your host, Jeanette Bryan. It is Saturday the 19th of January, and I have in the studio a powerful lady, Susan Ross, with me today. I was supposed to have a couple other ladies with me, but unfortunately, I will be with Susan. And hopefully, in between our break, we'll bring on a couple other ladies. Today, we'll be talking to you about everything health. It is troublesome to know that despite advances in technology, there are still health issues with no cure. Chronic and infectious diseases continue to threaten individuals' quality of life. The impediment of these health issues have been increasing among children worldwide. We want to explore the best ways to reduce health issues among children as they relate to parents and peers. We will touch base on the psychological and nutritional aspects of health issues, among others. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Inspiring. Hello, Susan. I'm glad to have you here with me today.
How are you? It's my pleasure. I'm very good. How are you?
I am doing great. I will let you introduce yourself to my listeners. And Susan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Susan Reese. I am a chair for Kids Be Aware, and I have been so in just about a year. It's my pleasure to be here today. I am a student at Walden University, doctoral study in psychology, health psychology, and I have worked with children who were on the autism spectrum or autistic spectrum, and dealing with children and families as they work through the issues that relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I am interested in finding ways and to help kids be aware to find ways where we can educate parents is regarding the proper way of managing their everyday life so as they can decrease the amount of opportunistic infections and diseases. We are faced in this country with a big amount of change, and parents may or may not be aware of how the laws apply to them regarding healthcare and being able to access healthcare. And while we are all still learning all of that, in the meantime, our children attend public schools or they are being schooled in some way, and they go out into the world and they are at risk for acquiring infections and different illnesses that are everyday. The focus for Kids Be Aware is not just to educate parents, but to help children understand that these illnesses and diseases in this world today are there, and that they have to be active and take a personal responsibility to keeping themselves safe and disease-free. So our focus at Kids Be Aware has been to not just educate parents, but educate children. And I'm happy to be a part of this.
Great, great. And welcome to Inspiring. Tell me, Susan, how can we then prevent the many health issues faced by many children nowadays?
Well, I think education is the big thing, Jeanette. I think parents who are facing an issue with a child are more apt to start researching and start reading and start trying to find out once the infection or the illness has occurred and once they are mm-hmm. facing with that. And sometimes education, preventative education, is something that we might need to back up and focus on, because if we were to try and prevent a child from becoming ill, find the ways to look at our household, look how we function, look how we eat, look how we sleep, look how we attend to personal hygiene, and what attention do we put on that, and how important is that in our home and in our families. I think the education may be able to get parents to be aware of this issue way before it becomes an illness or an infection.
Thank you.
Okay, Susan. Sorry, we took a little break. So you were saying something about how parents and children were supposed to try to get together and work on raising awareness with regard to health issues. Can you continue to elaborate on that?
My thought, Jeanette, is that, and as I was addressing earlier, is that educating parents and educating children is fundamental in helping parents and children and families learn how to prevent illnesses. There is a broad area to cover. Being in their home environment, being in a school, going to the mall, going to Walmart, going to places where a lot of people frequent, and they come from their own home environments. They may or may not already have been exposed to something, and our children need to be educated, as well as parents need to be educated in hygiene and how to disinfect and how to just prevent, just use common sense. Unfortunately, today things change. I see parents taking children out in very cold weather. They're not dressed appropriately, and that factors into just part of raising our children. Not just, you know, we're as a parent responsible for their well-being and their upbringing.
It's actually interesting, Susan. You brought up something very important right now. You say something about parents not dressing their children properly. I was going to Walmart the other day, and the baby, I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I asked the mother, she asked her, I said, how old is your child? And she said, oh, he's just 3 weeks, and he had no socks on. A three-week baby on a carriage in Walmart without socks. So I couldn't wonder just to ask how old was the baby, because he was really tiny. And then I wonder what will happen to this child if he gets sick. So I turn around and I say, you know, you should consider putting some socks on that baby. Her Walmart is very cold. And she said, yeah, it's kind of hot, you know, the baby. And I didn't want to argue, you know. Parents, you can't tell another parent how to raise his child. So I just wondered to myself, what about pneumonia? What about cold? What about all these other issues that this child can pick up from not wearing the socks? You know, so you brought up something very interesting, and education starts there. So to me, it seemed like this mother, she was pretty young too, wasn't educated enough to understand that you cannot take a three-year-old baby on a trip in Walmart, actually outside of your home, without properly putting proper clothes on them. You just cannot do something like that.
Absolutely. I agree. And like I said, education is absolutely key. New mothers, new parents, they are already overwhelmed with all the new responsibilities and juggling schedules, what have you. But there really is no substitute for being educated, because you and as you have mentioned, you're bringing new mothers, younger mothers. It depends on how younger mothers were raised or what they were exposed to, who modeled what behavior for them, and they take that and adopt it, or maybe they don't adopt it, into their own family unit, and they bring children, and children are being exposed to the elements, exposed to all different hosts of diseases and organisms and bacteria and things that could potentially make them ill. And we cannot take a blind side or just turn a deaf ear to this. And the issue is they ending up in urgent care, ending up in ERs or in doctor's offices. The child has upper respiratory, all kinds of issues going on. And that's just one entity. That is just one area that we can address, education. And another thing too, Jeanette, and we're talking about prevention, prevention in the home is key. And we used to teach young parents, and we used to make it a point in the education to safeguarding your home and baby-proofing your home and certain things. And as we have progressed and years have passed by, we have moved away from sterilizing bottles and having a very sterile environment, a very, very clean, very focused attention on being clean and having, like you said, children dressed appropriately for the weather and making sure they're nutritionally based. They're getting what they need. And as we have moved in, the pace of our day and the type of environments that people are living in and having to deal with and their children are exposed to, and some of it is economics. The country has had, in the recent years, such a whirlwind of change behind jobs and housing and being able to have the money to just get the basics. And I understand that if you're challenged financially, mm-hmm. that is a major drawback to what you can and cannot do. But if you know,
do you think, not to cut you, Susan, do you think that economic setback has something to do to being educated when it comes to knowing how to take care of yourself, health-wise, knowing how to educate your kids and educate yourself in making sure that at least whenever you don't have that money to take care of yourself, but you have to initiative to making sure that you are healthy so that whatever comes in front of you, you can tackle with your kids at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think health ignorance has something to do with the economic setback. To
Absolutely.
Me, where does the health ignorance will come from? If you don't have any money, at least you can have the proper education and knowing what to do and what not to do and how to live your life to better yourself and live longer life. Because remember, back years ago, the life expectancy was like 55 years old. Now, look how far we have came because of the fact that some people are educating themselves in making sure that they live a healthier life so they can live a longer life. So, I don't think that education has anything to do with how much money somebody has. It has something to do with the willingness.
I agree with you, Jeanette, but I also know that that people today, instead of taking a personal responsibility, sometimes, not for everybody, but for some times, and for some instances and some individuals, it is much easier to attribute blame instead of taking personal responsibility. And I agree that there is no excuse for not educating. And I also think there's no excuse for just being clean. I just think that if we were clean, if we were more focused on cleanliness, and even if we have a little in our home, even if we have a little bit of this to work with, we can still be clean. We can mm-hmm. still be focused on getting rest. We can still be focused on personal hygiene for our children, and we can continue to teach. But if you have a new parent who may not have received the modeling and the instruction, the education from their parents and their grandparents, and they come into being new parents, then this is a void that we need to fill in the education realm of it, because we're going to pick up the ball, so to speak, and help new parents be educated. And if some of it is things that my grandmother would have taught, or her grandmother would have taught, you know, and it goes back. Mm-hmm. And then as we get new parents now, we are seeing them, you know, they dress their children differently than we would have. That's fine. But to some extent, it's not fine if you're not dressing your children appropriately for the weather. And then another thing, too, is deciding when to take the child to the doctor. I think that, for the most part, WIC and different organizations have done a fundamental job, an awesome job, with getting children in and monitoring their iron and monitoring their height and weight and where should they be for the age that they are when they come into the clinic. Those things are wonderful, but not everyone has access to that. Some people who do not qualify but are not still financially able to do, they still have children. They still have a job to do. They still have things that need to be done on a daily basis. And so guessing if your child is sick, guessing if it is something that you can handle at home, or will Tylenol suffice? I mean, sometimes children present ill, and, you know, we give them Tylenol and we don't take them to a provider, and we're guessing whether or not they're going to be okay. And so sometimes there's, I look back at some of the things, Jeanette, that we have dealt with in the past, and as medicine has advanced and technologies, assessments, and treatments have advanced, sometimes the general public do not get to draw from the wealth of that for the simple reason that they think it costs too much, or it's an inconvenience, or I can't see my way to do it. But in the meantime, our children suffer. They need to be vaccinated. They need to be evaluated by a provider in their early formative years. And as we educate parents to help their children move from infancy to toddler and to adolescent and school-age children, we're helping them every stage of their life pick up some of the education that they may not have gotten or may not have been correct, so that we can see our children. Because irregardless of what parent is doing what, as this world cycle changes, these children are going to grow up and they're going to be parents. And the goal is to have them grow up to be healthy and well-rounded individuals, because they're not only going to be running the world, running the country, but they are going to continue to procreate and have children of their own. And we want the cycle of health and wellness to continue. And yes, education, being able to get to see a doctor, learning about how to address things, is just the beginning. There are so many different avenues that we could discuss, Jeanette, and still not cover all of them. Preventative.
Yes, and actually we need to add that not only parents are responsible in making sure that the kids grow to be better, healthy adults, we also have to understand that childhood can be a great source of joy and inspiration, and that is crucial. It is a crucial stage and for parents to actually look and make sure that their kids can be conscious about the holistic fitness and well-being that surrounds being healthy. And because we see the prevalence of chronic and infectious disease among children, and how some children's life are being impacted, and their cognitive development is also impacted. So we need, as parents, we need to step in and do something about it. We need to step in and educate ourselves. And I'm not going to say that we're not doing that. Well, I'm just saying that some parents are not educated enough to know what to do and what not to do. You know, there is one thing about learning and accepting to your setbacks, and accepting that I'm not such equipped in doing some things, but it's also one thing to not doing it at all. So if we can try, just try to start taking baby steps in making sure that our next generation, our children, can become the model of what we want it to be, and that we're not. So we're trying to be healthy, but we want our kids to be healthy, to live longer, and to be the role model for the generation right after them, and to continue that same culture. You know, we go to restaurants and we get into foods, and we see what type of food they serve in restaurants and stuff. Not to disqualify that we should not have restaurants, but just to say that we should bring more food that are healthy for our being, and provide more options for children to choose what is healthy and not healthy, and stop them from having to eat snacks that are unhealthy to their body. We need to look at the whole picture of raising our kids in a proper way, not just giving them the morals, but also giving them the tools, the holistic fitness, making sure that they eat the proper way and that they do the proper thing in making sure that they avoid the illnesses that we have here, and that some of them still haven't had any cure as of now. So we need to do something about it. And not only that, we also have a duty in making sure that our kids' mental being is at its best. Especially we have children that live in abusive homes. How do we stop the stress in children living in an abusing home with parents who do nothing? What will be your take on that, Susan?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeanette, that is a very tedious area to discuss. And the reason is because children are, they come into the world innocent and dependent. They're innocent of what is going on in the world. They're innocent about what's going on in the lives between their mom and dad or the people who are raising them. And they are totally dependent on us for everything. And so reasons why they are in a home that could be experiencing turmoil, physical and emotional turmoil, could not be placed on, the blame cannot be placed on the child. So this is between the parents. So for whatever reason, whichever parent one is perpetrating and the other person is on the receiving end of that, they may feel stuck because they cannot financially get away, or they may feel that it's doable, they can work for them. But however it works, however it doesn't work, the child is still observing and absorbing and taking it all in. Yes. And so until the parent who has been victimized has had enough and wants change, then that child will continue to be exposed to the ups and downs, the ins and outs, that are way beyond our normal ups and downs and ins and outs that everybody has. So,
yeah, but Susan, when is enough? When is enough? When do you draw the line, especially when you have younger children in the home who are stressed by seeing two parents? Because there is one thing about kids. Kids get stressed when they see parents fighting. What type of emotional damage do you have to wait to see on your kids in order for you to remove yourself from those situations? Because we're talking about making sure that our children are healthy, but are we also making sure that emotionally we're providing that help? Because health is not just on being, eating healthy, exercising, it's emotional health. So emotionally, when do you stop and draw the line and say that my kids have seen enough and I need to be able to remove myself before I have children who are traumatized, children who are stress level is high, that concentration in school, everywhere else is low, or children who start acting up because mom and dad at home is acting up. So when do you draw the line? When do you say to this parent that enough is enough? It's time for you to draw the line here. This is the point where you can draw the line. When? Is it when the kids, you start taking your children to the hospital because they're stressed? Or when the kids start acting up because they see how the home is not quite right? Or is it when you probably walk out of the home with a broken leg or probably hanging in a strain with your life at the emergency room when you realize that you need to get out? Or when your kids are no longer with you, then you realize that you need to remove your kids from those emotional homes. So when do you draw the line to say, I need my kids to be healthy? I, the parent, want to be healthy because if I'm healthy, my child will be healthy emotionally. So when do you draw that line?
Well, I would tell you, Jeanette, there's an old saying, and I'm much older, so I come from different education or generational education and adages that my grandparents used to say. But change does not happen sometimes until a tragedy happens, a trauma happens, something happens. And then, unfortunately, we have Child Protective Services and different organizations that are solely looking out for the welfare of the child. When they present to doctor's office and emergency room, they say, you know what, this story and this injury and illness, they don't match. You know, and these two don't match. And then they want to step in and make the parent realize
mm-hmm. how they see it on their, what it looks like from my end. So if a parent goes to the emergency room with a child, and the child has been there numerous times, you know what, you can see bruises in all different kinds of stages of healing, fractures in all different, you know, levels of healing. And then, you know, people somewhere along the line go, whoa, wait a minute, you know, this is a story that you're telling me, and what I'm seeing with the child, and
Susan,
the history.
Susan, I'm not going to cut you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back so you and I can continue this conversation offline for a minute. So to my listener, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. And you were saying something about drawing the lines on making sure that kids can be removed from being in abusive homes so that emotionally they can be stable. Because when we're talking about health, when we're talking about educating parents about health, we're not just talking about making sure that the kids have a proper nutrition. We're not talking about making sure that they know how to avoid illnesses. We're also talking about making sure that emotionally kids are stable. Emotionally, the kids are able to function and do the things that they need to do. So you were saying something about organizations that are there to help, and things that some other organization do in helping parents or kids going to the emergency room. I think that's what you were saying. Something about being in an emergency room and having to see a child with bruises, and when do you step in? Can you elaborate more on that?
Sure. What I was addressing earlier before we went to break, as Jeanette has alluded to, is that to me, education is coming two ways. Okay, a parent can get into WIC and different organizations that intend to help the parent on the forefront, on the front of this, to mm-hmm. educate them and help them to help their child. Unfortunately, sometimes if parents are not eligible for those programs or they do not take advantage of those programs and they have a violent or a distressful home and the child gets ill or constantly ill or gets injured in the home and shows up in the ER, they raise red flags. And so people who are taking care, the providers, the medical providers, and the social services for the hospital that represent the hospital, they have a responsibility to the child. And so sometimes parents get a wake-up call in the ER when they are approached by these individuals and said, your story does not match with what's going on with your child, and we want to look at your home environment. Then parents are getting this red flag in the ER. Now they're going to be investigated, or now they're going to be looked at a little tighter underneath the microscope to see what's really going on and how they're rearing their child and what the environment is. And sometimes the education comes through that side or the back side of this. And like I said before, it takes a tragedy or a trauma sometimes before people pay attention. And I think in our country up to Tuesday, we have seen too many children lost behind things that could have been prevented.
That's correct. That's correct. And just to give our listeners quick more information here, we have another guest on with us, Teresa. Now, let me ask you something. How can we encourage parents to understand their role in preventing illnesses in their children's life? How can we make them understand that their role is very crucial because they are the role model to these kids? How can we do that?
Well, I think a lot of times we reach parents through community activities, mm-hmm. like that fits Kids Be Aware to a T, making kids be aware, making parents be aware, getting them involved in community activities that open their eyes, that give them something else to consider, that gives them the tools to read and learn. And I also think, too, that things that happen in the school systems and doctor's mm-hmm. offices, all of these different places are opportunities for us to reach the child, when reach the parent, and ultimately the parent has to choose, Jeanette. We can give them all the education and try to help them learn how to identify red flags and where can they make change. But it's ultimately the parent's responsibility to step up to the plate and say, you know what? I'm going to do things different. I'm going to look better. And, you know, Jeanette, I want to touch on something. And we were talking about all these other entities, but when we're getting back and you're talking about foods and everything, we have to understand the trend of this day and age is fast-paced. We have put ourselves on such a fast-paced schedule that the only thing that we have time for is processed food, or the only thing that we have time for is drive-through McDonald's, Burger King. And sometimes we think that we have done our job as a parent because we have driven through some fast food restaurant and got our children supper, you know. But I understand parents have to work and their schedules are tough, but when did we get so fast-paced and so out of hand that the only time that we have to feed our children is something processed and fast and convenient? And if we look at some of the older generations that lived long, they're living 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. And when you ask them, what kind of things did you feed your children, or what kind of things did you eat when you were growing up? I can almost tell you that they did not eat processed food. They ate healthy. They ate fruit. They ate vegetables. They had balanced portion, and their pace was not so hectic
that they made no time for them to take care of their families. Families were always
In that case, not to cut you so that you can come back to your thought. In that case, then, what do you suggest this restaurant do? Because if we stop, we don't have time because of how society is made at this point with the economy and everything that is involved in getting us to work in a fast-paced environment. How can we suggest to this restaurant that, listen, you guys are becoming the only source of our nutrition. Can you please stop selling us fast food and start making healthy food so that we can stop some more and get more food from you? Because they are feeding us, right? They're feeding our kids, and they're doing a great job at it because they're making sure that everything that the kids are ingesting is not good for them. So how can we bring it to them and let them know that maybe it's time for them to start providing a better fast food alternative? Perhaps a healthy one?
Well, I understand, and I hear you, Jeanette. I hear what you're saying, and a lot of people have tried to make an approach on this. But the fast food restaurant is feeding what is being asked for. The parent is asking for this, asking for that off the menu. And you know what? The fast food restaurants or the restaurants that provide, they provide a service to a community who wants to come in and buy. If a person does not, if a person who is a consumer comes in and purchases food that is heavy in calories, heavy in starch, heavy, bad all the way around, then we have taken, nobody has twisted our arm. We have actually walked in and we have ordered it and we have taken it home and we have served it as food for our families. But they did not make us do that. So I don't think that 100% of the blame is the restaurant. I think, yes, they can offer better choices. But if we start looking at the healthier part of purchasing better foods for our families, we have been finding a higher cost, a higher dollar sign for safe foods that are healthier and much more nutritious. The cheap food is, in some cases, cannot be all that good for us. But the restaurants are not 100% to blame. We parents go in there full knowing what we're asking for, and we take it home and serve it to our families. But we had a choice. We could have had this restaurant, or we could have had this, or whatever. But we do not have time to take plan. I think if we would just consider the fact that if we were to substitute fast food meal and make something in a crock pot that cooks while we're away, and when we come home we have a healthy, more nutritionally sound, balanced meal. We don't have to go anywhere to get it. It is ready when we come home from work, and we can substitute with one of these other entities at a restaurant with something that we have created from home and then feed it to our families. We know what preservatives are in there. We know what we're feeding our family. Not that we don't know from the restaurants. And how many, Jeanette, how many parents actually say, gee, let me see a breakdown of your food before I order a Big Mac and French fries and a milkshake. Let me see what the calorie count on that. They don't do that because it is quick. It is convenient. It is a choice that parents make. McDonald's did not make them come in. They walked in and ordered it, or they drove
to
the window.
Do you think that is the environment we live in that encourage that? Because, also society encourages the fact that the choices that you have in front of you and that are more, like you say, economically, the money that you can spend in making sure that your child is healthy in a fast-paced environment, it probably just leaves you to eat junk food versus probably going to the market and getting a natural meal, going home and cooking. The money you will have to purchase that food will not be enough for you to do so. But when you get into the supermarket, for example, the amount of food that they provide you that are frozen and that are processed is more higher than the amount of food that they provide you that are fresh. So what are our choices then that they're providing us as individuals to go and get and actually do? So how can parents manage themselves and manage their budget in making sure that
they provide a natural, nutritious, healthy choice for the kids at home.
Well, I would say, there is one thing that's really detrimental in this country is the onset of drive-through windows. Drive-through windows make it so convenient for parents to drive through. We can get as much as we want. Nobody needs to see. We can get whenever we want it. We can get food clear up to 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever. We have drive-throughs have made it possible for parents to step out of that responsibility of going to the market and budgeting meals, planning meals. Now, you're talking about parents with their budget. If parents, this is a brand new month in a brand new year, and if we were to reflect back in 2012 and look at our check stubs and look at our bank book for 2012 and count up how many times we spent money at McDonald's, how much money overall did we spend at fast food restaurants feeding our families, and figure out why for 2013 we cannot use that money to plan meals, cook them at home, pack lunches, and make a start. You're right, it does take baby steps, but we got to start somewhere. But we can educate and talk all we want, but parents have to make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to look and see if for 2012, and I challenge parents, look at 2012. How much money did you spend at fast food? If you're keeping an accurate, detailed record of everything you spend, you would be able to see every time I swiped my card at McDonald's, every time I went to Arby's, every time I went here, there, and everywhere. There's not to say that any one restaurant's food is better than another. I'm just saying, if I'm comparing fast food and convenience with cooking it at home and making a positive change, make the effort to do this. I'm just wondering how much money we have spent.
A lot.
Every single family. Yes, every single family.
A lot.
And so you know what? And families wonder why the child is not growing healthy. The child is deficient in this vitamin. The child... Man, you know, I remember that vitamins were given every single day as part of your breakfast. You had a vitamin. Children got vitamins. Just in case.
Oh, my gosh, I had vitamins all the time, and I have to sleep at 12 o'clock every time. I had to sleep. If I didn't sleep at 12 o'clock because I was at school, growing up, my parents will tell me it is time for you to have a nap. I had a nap all the time, and I had to take my vitamins all the time. Maybe because I grew up on the mindset that you needed to take care of yourself, you needed to take care of your body, your mind, and have healthy food. Maybe that's the reason why I'm advocating for the rest of the people out here, because I want to make sure that not only we continue to make sure that children are being raised in a healthy environment, but making sure that they are getting the proper nutrients for their body, but also making sure that they're doing the greatest thing that they have to do. I think that at this point, I want us to go back there, back where we used to have your vitamins. They have vitamins right now that they sell, the little gummy. I think it's little gummies that you can give your child every day. You don't have to lose one day not to have your child have gummy. You can ask your child to take a nap. Children are not taking naps anymore. Barely. You see them everywhere. They have plenty to do. The only thing they don't do is taking a nap. The only time you see kids taking a nap is when you go to daycare. When you leave your child daycare, they have nap time that they allocate to children to have a nap and then get up and have snacks and so forth. But schools don't provide nap time. So when children come home, it is our responsibility to make sure that they get a couple of minutes of sleep just to relax their body and their mind, and making sure that they get their vitamins, making sure that they get their shots. Susan, at the beginning, we saw say something about parents not knowing when to take the kids in the hospital. If we have to get into that subject, it becomes controversial because you have other parents that refuse to take the kids to the doctor because of religious background. They have some religious ideas that say that, okay,
God will take care of my kids. I don't need to take them to the doctor. They don't need to get a shot. They don't need to get none of that because it's stated. But I think if we're preaching the same God, for example, and you read into the Bible, you will see that there is nowhere in there that he said, don't take your kids to the doctor. He provided the doctor to us. You have doctors. You have hospital because he provided that sense of us having those things. So making sure that we create that environment for our kids. So if we have to get into a subject like that, it will become a little bit controversial because everybody has their ways of knowing, okay, am I going to take my child to get a shot? No, I don't think so because my religion says not to. So that would be a little bit those parents who have that type of contradiction in religion and doctors and how they view doctors and how they view shots. That would be like a subject that we will touch base one day. Hopefully when we're strong enough to sit down and discuss that. But other than that, I think that we should continue to look into getting into the mind of parents and getting and making them aware of the rise in diseases and the effects of chronic illnesses on our children, on them. They should look at themselves and see the amount of pain they go through all the time, and they have to ask themselves, do I want my child to go through this? I wasn't educated. Do I want to continue to be ignorant in the fact of health and let my kids be in the same ignorance, or do I want to get myself out of this ignorance and help my child in learning more and becoming a healthy adult?
And I agree. And I would tell you one thing, Jeanette. Like you're talking about all the different things that we have birthed on these subjects today. I think that the biggest thing is that, you know, we pray for parents to get wisdom, that they become receptive to new knowledge regarding how to take care of themselves and their children and their family units. There are a lot of different things that people deal with, struggle with, and when you're talking about infectious and chronic diseases, that brings a certain strain, and that's a topic for probably another time, it brings a certain amount of stress and strain, and parents, this is new to them. They may never have had to experience that before growing up, and then they have a child who is has an infection or a chronic illness, and they have to deal with that. And there's nothing that I can say except you need to find, if you're a parent and your child has a chronic condition, there more than likely is a support group in your area or an organization in your area that can give you additional education, that can help you and be supportive, not just with education, but be supportive. Because sometimes parents that have a child with a chronic condition, they need to talk to another parent that has a child with a chronic condition so they can learn, well, this is what you did then, and it worked, and if I'm going through it now, then let me see if that would work for me. And everybody, it's a trial and error sometimes, but sometimes we need to realize that we cannot be superhuman. We have to get the support from other people who have done it, who are going through it, and the end result is we learn. And the more that we learn, the more we gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what's in front of us, and we make choices, the right choices, that benefit our families and our children. Parents can prevent things in a whole lot of ways, Jeanette. It can be preventing drug use and alcohol use and cigarettes and what have you. But the thing of it is, even if a parent is not abusing or not using at all, any type of thing, and they have a child who is sick or they have a child who has a chronic condition that they deal with day in and day out, they still have to make a choice. They have to make a choice to continue. They have to find the personal fortitude and commitment to make a decision to stick with it. And it's a baby step, making change. Nobody likes to make change. But if you consistently do something for 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, you consistently take those baby steps to make change. After 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, parents can begin to see that they're establishing a pattern. They're establishing a rhythm for themselves. And it's easier to do after a while. And it's not so scary anymore because you've been doing it for a while. But, you know, okay. We have a big responsibility.
All right. I'm going to say that we are going to continue this discussion in our next show coming up in February 2nd. We are coming to the end of our show today here live at BBS Radio, but don't worry, we'll be back Saturday, February 2nd, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Before I exit, I will leave you with an inspirational quote and hope that you enjoy the time spent listening to us today. We can make a commitment to promote vegetable and fruits and whole grain on every part of every menu. We can make portion sizes smaller and emphasize quality over quantity. And we can help create a culture. Imagine this, where our kids ask for healthy options instead of resisting them. Michelle Obama. Thank you, Susan, for joining me today. And I apologize for all that inconvenience of stopping in the middle of our show today. And I look forward to having you again soon. And for my listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, have a wonderful Saturday. Ciao now.